You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Good evening, everybody. It's 7:01 p.m. and you're watching or you're listening to, quite frankly, you're probably listening to it because last night was the first time that I put a episode up onto YouTube because I wanted to start archiving all of the video episodes up on YouTube just so that we can get a little bit more distant, more into a realm of where people are actively looking for videos. Love Brad Huncival and everything he created with Ustream, but people aren't on Ustream looking for videos. In either case, last night's video got taken down. It was blocked in all countries, including Antarctica. They even say, Antarctica, that's it. No, you can't even watch it there. I don't know why. It said it was because of some WMG, UMG... Universal Music Group bullshit with, I think, with Typo Negative. The Typo Negative song. I think I played Love You to Death last night. And, of course, they took that off. And that's it. So now I'm thinking about whether or not I should put anything up on YouTube anymore. And then I just start thinking, what the fuck do I even give a shit? Seriously, what the fuck does it matter? None of this fucking shit matters. I start getting very nihilistic about this. Okay? Deal with me. Either deal with me or you have to turn it off right now, because the problem that we have with this show, or I guess the situation we have with this show, is you're going to get all moods. And this is the what the fuck am I doing with my life mood. You know, it comes up every once in a while. I know you guys have it. Call in. The line's on zenlive.tv. So I started thinking about that. That started pissing me off. Then I started thinking about all the things I wanted to do at home as far as editing other videos. And I have the situation with my computer right now where when I close out media, let's say I'm on Windows Media Player or something like that, or sometimes it's just random. My computer freezes up and boom, it's gone. I have to hard restart my computer at least 4 or 5 times a day sometimes. And I'm just waiting for the entire thing just to crash and burn. So every time I do something that's significant on my computer, I back up everything onto my backup hard drive. I told Derek about it. Derek, the bassist of our band, good friend. He's also a computer IT whiz. So I said, hey, take a look at my computer, man. This is just bad. But I'm just handcuffed. I can't work on that fucking computer. Can't do that. Get your videos taken down off of YouTube. Looking around here, you know, that's the other thing. You think about how to pay the rent. Paying the rent and the utilities of this place, that's a pretty hard task. I mean, I'm grateful to have some very good brands to go and work with and market and try to get some commercial interest in. But in the meantime, I really do feel like And Anthony and Mike, they pull this into focus for me. I feel like, and if you guys have any kind of situation like this in your life, let me know. It could be the same for you, but just in a different context with a different group of players and a different group of whatever. But I feel like the more that I handle and the more that I get myself involved with in a business sense, the less I have a grasp of myself creatively. And now I'm on the air an hour a night to talk about what's going on around the world. And I think about all the prep time I put into this hour, all the things I read, whether I'm on the road training clients or not, in between clients. I'll get to a client's house early, or I'll show up at a park early if I'm going to be working with a kid doing baseball instruction, whatever the hell it is. Doesn't matter what it is, whatever the job is, I'm always reading. In the meantime, before leading up to a session, afterwards, if I'm down for a second, I'm reading articles. I'm cross-referencing it with history. I'm picking up a book. I'm downloading new books to my Kindle. And I'm thinking to myself, just before the show tonight, what the fuck am I doing it all for? We're living in a very, very unique time. Well, not unique, because, I mean, we've had other tumultuous socio-political eras in the past, the 60s, the 70s, especially in this country in particular. But the one thing that we have now that they didn't have back then is social media. So whereas I know that we get together to talk about things in an uncensored kind of way, this show has got to become something else. It's got to spark something else for me alone. Me, first of all. It just has to. Because the saturation level of what we're dealing with, there's just too much of it. And because we're spending so much time on all this shit, and we've got some shit to spend time, we're going to get into it tonight, just some stuff because I've got it prepared. Do you ever feel like the more that you get into something, into a routine, into a schedule where every day, every moment is accounted for, you know what you're going to be doing this Tuesday, next Tuesday, and the Tuesdays after that, and even though you're into a good groove and you think you're making something of yourself, you've actually forgotten another part of yourself altogether. And I feel like I'm just not tapping into any creativity. I've had two short stories left on my desk that are like 90% done with the first draft, that I have not touched since last August. It's been a year since I put out a short story. Over a year. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck? I used to get all my ideas when I'm writing these things. Because, you know, the editing process, you're digging deep into a fictional story. Something's funny. You take out a sentence here. You take out a sentence there. You tweet them out. I used to write... Now, I have an Ernest Hemingway parody account on Twitter. If you go and you check, I haven't posted on it in a long time, but if you go on to Twitter, you go at Flemingway, phlegm as you know, the mucus that you cough up. So Phlegmingway. I made that account a couple of years ago when I was rereading and reading all of the Hemingway novels that there are. And the novellas and short stories. He's my favorite. I've got everything he's ever written. Him and F. Scott Fitzgerald. And then I bought a couple of biographies on the relationship of F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway. One tumultuous relationship right there, too. And in many cases, the entire parody account on Twitter was written in his voice. And just saying, you know, terrible things, and obviously just being a parody account. But a lot of those tweets that I wrote would usually be in the midst of writing some kind of a short story that I was in the middle of. And I was like, you know what, that could be Flemingway, out there. And in like a couple of months, it got over 8,000 followers. It was past 9, but after a couple of months, a couple of years of really inconsistency, I've lost a lot. So that's the thing tonight, I guess, that I'd like to really tap into on a subconscious level. What can we all be doing to break the cycle? We get into cycles. We get into cycles, and years go by. It's not a matter of wasting an afternoon. Years go by. It's fucking Wednesday tomorrow. The week is already half over. Unbelievable. It's already Tuesday night. It'll be Friday night before you know it. It'll be next Tuesday before you know it. And And that's what I really slapped me in the face before I got on the air tonight. Really slapped me in the face. That's why I'm just going to lay on all of the work that I need to do myself onto the interns and say, do this for me. I need this by so-and-so time. And then I have to go off and do something else. Gadget Doc, real quick, what's up, man?
I'm trying to pull you out of your funk as a friend.
It's not going to happen.
Jesus.
Not going to happen. It's not going to happen, I promise you, but go ahead.
All right, first off, you want to get back into your creativity, set aside 30 minutes every day and write something for yourself.
You're right.
The first thing you do when you get out of your bed, all right? Me, I'm just talking to you as a friend. When you get out of your bed, just take 30 minutes, sit down, just write something, even if it's terrible.
You're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the only thing you need to do, my friend. I mean, here's the thing. You're trying to give away one passion to get into another. You got to just find the balance. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So, I get it. I've been there myself, and I'm going to tell you that, where you're feeling like, Jesus Christ, I'm putting in hour after hour after hour. But that's part of the creative process, my friend.
Yeah, you know the other thing is I've got to find a little bit more healthier view on this on the idea of ZenLive.tv, the broadcast network. I got to find a little bit of a healthier view on that, something a little bit more simplistic, something that I can delegate to other people. And I just got to – whatever. I just it's shit like this. I feel like there needs to be pruning done in my life. I don't need to hack off branches, but I got to do some pruning to have some flowers bloom again. What I give to this show every night is something I feel is very, very necessary for myself, because we don't just talk about politics and all the dark, dingy shit. This is a real, real therapy session for me, as you can all see right now or hear. So, I mean, it's absolutely necessary, and but I just feel like there needs to be some pruning done. Like, everybody needs to do pruning from time to time. It just hit me as soon as before I got on, because I was thinking to myself, I felt flat. I felt real flat. I was like, how the hell am I supposed to be how am I supposed to get any kind of enthusiasm behind what we got to talk about tonight if this is lingering? So I had to jump on it first.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Let it out. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to, like I said, you're in my living room right now. I'm talking to you just like we would be talking if you were here. So I'm just trying to tell you. Now, do you write down what you're gonna do in the day?
Yeah.
Or are you just, because you if you start writing it down and checking it off, physically checking it off, it kind of gives you that sense of achievement.
Right.
And that helps you out, too.
I make tons of lists. I make tons of lists. I even add things to a list that I've already done just so I can check it off.
Yeah, I do that, too.
Yeah.
But go ahead and get into that. Now, another thing, too, is I know you're doing the physical trainer, but are you getting into your own physical maintenance, doing your karate, doing your meditation?
Oh yeah, you tapped into something right there. Meditation is something I want to get into a little bit more, but the kung fu and the tai chi has been a lifesaver, and that's really I do need to figure out. Here's another thing. Oh, you just tapped into something else that pisses me off. So in one fell swoop, last December, every last fucking doorway in my life that was a proper width that I can attach my iron gym to it to do my pull-ups left me. The new studio has these doorways that are so tall and so wide I can't put in anything. My apartment with Lauren, no, we actually have two small doorways, but they're also, the actual doorways themselves are so thick that the iron gym can't hook underneath it. So I haven't been able to do pull-ups. I used to have daily pull-up routines that were monstrous. I was doing over 150 pull-ups a day sometimes, and just wiping the floor, man. I felt amazing. I'm starting to feel like, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting weak up top, which is pissing me the fuck off. Because when I feel that weakness, I want to punch myself. Okay? I hate the feeling or just the thought of weakness. I can't stand it. And I got to figure that out. I have to figure it because the winter's coming too. I can't
You go to the gym. You go to the park, right?
I go to the park, but the winter's coming, Gadget Duck.
Yeah, but I'm talking for right now. For right now, you can grab the jungle gym bars, the monkey bars, if you will. Grab the thick part of the pole and use that as your pull-up bar.
I would, but here's
ghetto style.
I do that down by the dugouts. And what I do is when I go by the dugouts where I coach Little League, actually, I throw my TRX, which is a suspension trainer. So I have my TRX and I throw it over the top of the dugout and I wrap it up until just the handles are dangling there and I can use that as a pull-up. Only thing is that, it's going to get very, very cold soon. And if I don't have that TRX, if I can't get something to get handles onto something, that I can do something with a neutral grip. See, I rehabbed my right shoulder a couple of years ago because I had a slightly torn labrum. I like to tell people that I have a torn labia in my right shoulder. But I prefer to do those pull-ups in that neutral grip so I can, I get everything from the waist up, but it's not going to have that my humerus pushing out onto the labrum. So that's another thing. So even if I did find a late summer, early fall solution, it's going to start getting real cold soon. I mean, even Kung Fu is going to be moving inside before you know it. And that's the one good cool thing about the Kung Fu, or even Rob would tell you the next time he comes in, is that we train pretty much seasonally. And winter is a little bit more of a static season, so that's when we'll sit in horse stance for the entire time it takes for an incense stick to burn down. So, but I need a place to do pull-ups. My base
is there anything where you can kind of inside the studio where you can kind of mount, like a shelf holder, shelf support, where you can attach your TRX that way.
I'm thinking,
or it would still support your body weight.
I'm thinking maybe. There's maybe in the corner of a room somewhere I can get one of those stand-up pull-up things. I don't know. This is the only place where I can ever think about putting a stand-up, standalone pull-up and Romanian what do they call it? What the hell's the – is it Romanian curl? What is it? It's a dip station, pull-up station, but you can also turn around and do the abs. I forgot.
Like the crazy chair.
Yeah. Yeah, Romanian chair or something like that.
Yeah,
it's I know.
I love that thing too. I don't know what it's called, but I love it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Where you hold it by the handles, and then you're dangling your body weight, you lift your legs.
The other thing here, dude, is we got a lot of things that we have to figure out here with, as far as how to put our time, our creative energies to use over here at the studio. 10-second songs, the band, that is one thing of itself, but we do our broadcast time. We do an hour a night. You guys know is nothing. The time just flies by, and we get through this broadcast in no time. But everything else has to be put to better use, and it's got to contribute to the whole. I mean, you see people who put up these little iPhone videos of doing stupid shit that get tens of millions of views on Facebook and everywhere else, and all of a sudden they've got something they can do, something they can monetize, whatever. And then here we are every night, and we need to be able to go out there and grab a fucking audience. I've got to I'm not into the whole man on the street thing. I don't want to go down into New York City and talk to people. I don't want to do it. Got to think of something else, though, to get out there. Anthony's doing his thing. The band is doing its thing as a collective. I've got to find something that I can just blast out into the world like a fucking bat signal that I think would cut through the noise. And what that is, I don't know.
I mean, what you could do, and this is the suggestion, and you can take it for what it is, it's just off the top of my head, is that you could, maybe once a week for your creative story, like on a Friday night, have Frank's story time.
Imagine that. Oh, I think that's every fucking night anyway. Frank story time. Oh, that's all it is. You know what else I was thinking? I was watching this. I was watching the documentary on the 70s. Now I'm on to the 70s, and the second episode. First of all, I told you guys last night. Watch the first episode of the 60s on Netflix. Watch the first episode of the 70s. Just on television alone, it's awesome. But the second episode of the 70s is all murderers and cults. So murders and cults, because the 70s, of course, is where you have the most prolific age of serial killers, with from the Zodiac to Son of Sam later on in the decade, and the Hillside Stranglers and this and that, and
Ted Bundy.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, the last year you're talking about 1969, but it was more so a welcome to the 70s kind of a thing. But you had the whole Manson, the Manson situation too. Then, of course, you had Jonestown. You have all these weird cults and terrible, crazy shit. Bundy, like you said. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's just like, what the fuck sparked that? You know, I'm thinking to myself over here, what the hell is inside of me that needs to come out? And I know that one time, sometime soon, as soon as I break up the logjam and let the juices flow, I will find that. But what the hell were these people looking for? What the hell were they looking for that they found? Oh, I want to go on a murderous rage. I want to go into a murderous fit. It's very, very weird. Very, very weird that age of the 70s with the violent crime and all, everybody trying to leave their marks on serial, the serial killer history that was being made in the 70s. Very, very weird. Not to say that I'm a serial killer in the making, but there's something inside of me that definitely has I definitely have to do some emptying.
Yeah. Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Just wanted to touch base with you. Did you look into the Stargate program that I mentioned to you?
Not yet. I saved the bookmark. I'm going to look into it.
So that makes... If you look at it, you'll see that Stranger Things is more fact than fiction.
Really?
Really.
You're talking about the Montauk Project and all that stuff?
It all ties in. Let me put it to you that way. It goes into psychic spies.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and it was a real thing.
Well, I'm going to check that out, man. And, dude, thank you so much for the call. I want to try to regain a little bit of sense of normalcy, because there is some fun stuff to talk about tonight. But I had to get that out there. Also, I was gonna conduct all the rest of the conversations with a bullshit black cloud over me.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to help you out. Get that off your chest, man.
Hey, man.
Have a good one.
Hey, thank you so much. There you go. Our good trusty friend Gadget Doc. You guys can call in. Let me know what the hell's bugging you. You know. Because in the end, listen to Bill Clinton. Listen to Bill Clinton, everybody. And watch what CBS. That's life. We're in such a crazy time. Here's Bill Clinton saying that that Hillary frequently suffers from dizziness. And he immediately catches himself. And then CBS edits it out. Watch this shit. Or listen. I say that's life.
When you look at that collapse, that video that was taken, you wonder if it's not more serious.
No, she...
Than dehydration.
She's been... well, if it is, it's a mystery to me and all of her doctors, because it's frequently... Not frequently, that's not... Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years.
Frequently. Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last very many years. That's like saying definitely, probably, maybe. What the fuck? What the fuck? And then listen, and then watch this.
The same sort of things happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated.
And now here is the edited version that was put out there on the 12th by CBS.
She's in dehydration.
She's been... Well, if it is, it's a mystery to me and all of her doctors. Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years.
Gone. Gone. That's all you need to know. We don't have to put any more commentary on this. There you have it. There's one more. Let's go through this a little bit. And then, of course, we have President – just some headlines. President Obama will veto the bill allowing 9/11 lawsuits against Saudi Arabia because got to help our buddies out there. Coptic filmmaker blamed for Benghazi attack is now pretty much homeless and decrepit. So, and this is another one of Hillary's casualties. September 2012, Hillary blamed an awful internet video for the deaths of four American heroes in Benghazi. Of course, she was not telling her daughter that, a.k.a. Diane Reynolds. She wasn't telling her daughter that in email. She wasn't telling anybody behind the scenes that. But for the rest of us, I mean, this guy, this filmmaker is just, who cares? Flush him. Ruin his life. Who cares? We got to protect the narrative. Nakula Basile Nakula, the Coptic Christian whose short video, The Innocence of Muslims, was initially faulted for sparking the September 11, 2012 terror attack at the U.S. diplomatic compound in Libya, is now living in a homeless shelter run by First Southern Baptist Church in Buena Park, California. He has served time in prison, been shamed publicly by the White House, and threatened with death. I don't believe in democracy anymore, Nakula told FoxNews.com. I don't think there's such thing as freedom of speech. There is not, Nakula. I'm very sorry what happened to you. There's no such thing as freedom of speech anymore. This is the privilege of speech. When it can be taken from you like that, and when your life can be destroyed like that, from those who we cannot criticize or expose, as Voltaire told us to look out for, then you know exactly what kind of a state we live in. So I feel very bad for you, my friend, wherever you are in the world. And I hope that that soup that they're making you every day is a clean soup. ABC, I thought this was pretty interesting. Listen to this little report from InfoWars, moving right along here. InfoWars, now, they called them up to see what the hell was going on with the ABC Nightly News when they reported that Hillary Clinton had died. Watch this.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sandra Fulton.
And I'm Joe Torres. We begin with the breaking news about Hillary Clinton's death.
Is Owen Schroyer from Infowars.com.
So this guy Owen calls up ABC News afterwards to ask what the hell's going on. He actually gets somebody on the phone to talk about it. Listen to this.
Hillary Clinton had died yesterday?
It was a mistake, yes.
It was a mistake?
Yes, that is accurate. An unfortunate mistake.
So what did he have?
We took him back. Obviously, we took him back. It's a rebuttal, obviously, right? I mean, she's alive. He was pneumonia, but she's alive.
So why did he did he hear that she was dead, or what was that?
I don't know. If it was, I mean, it was written in a teleprompter, and I don't know, honestly. I wasn't.
It was written in the teleprompter. It was written in the teleprompter. So the real Ron Burgundy is working at ABC News. Where if you write Hillary's dead in there, he doesn't stop to say, wait, what? Who put a question mark in the teleprompter? For the last time, anything that's in that teleprompter, Ron Burgundy will read. I'm Ron Burgundy? It's unbelievable. It was in the teleprompter. Who cares? Hillary Clinton's dead. Just listen to the delivery.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Sandra Fulton.
And I'm Joe Torres. We begin with the breaking news about Hillary Clinton's death.
Okay, Joe Torres. Joe Burgundy over there. That's New York. What the hell are you going to do? I mean, just... It's hilarious. So, to keep that in the back of your mind, listen to this. I thought this was pretty interesting. Then we're going to get to a new George Carlin special, Too Raw. That's going to be coming out. So we have some stuff to distract ourselves with. Here's some pseudoscience in the witness box. Now, this is from Slate.com. The FBI faked an entire field of forensic science. This is going to make shivers run up and down your dick. Okay. I'm just going to read a little bit something for you right here. Three paragraphs that I think sum up the entire thing. You can check this out on Slate.com. The Washington Post published a story so horrifying this weekend that it would stop your breath. Quote, The Justice Department and FBI have formally acknowledged that nearly every examiner in an elite in an elite FBI forensic unit gave flawed testimony in almost all trials in which they offered evidence against criminal defendants over more than a two-decade period before the year 2000. What went wrong? The Post continues. Of 28 examiners with the FBI laboratory's microscopic hair comparison unit, 26 overstated forensic matches in ways that favored the prosecutors in more than 95% of the 268 trials reviewed so far. That's the end of the quote. The shameful, horrifying errors were uncovered in a massive three-year review by the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and the Innocence Project. Followed revelations published in recent years, the two groups are helping the government with the country's largest ever post-conviction review of questioned forensic evidence. Listen to this now. And then we're going to sit back and marinate in this truth for a second. Or not this truth, this thought. Chillingly, as the Post continues, here's the quote. The cases include those of 32 defendants sentenced to death. Of these defendants, 14 have already been executed or died in prison. So just think about that. The FBI faked an entire field of forensic science in ways over a couple of decades that led to numerous convictions and favored the prosecutors in more than 95% of 268 trials reviewed so far. Out of all that stuff, 32 defendants were sentenced to death, and of those defendants, 14 have already lost their lives. Just let it sink in. Do whatever the hell you want with that tidbit of information. I don't know what the fuck to do. What are we? What are we, difference makers? No, we're just hanging out in basements right now, talking about things amongst ourselves, while everybody else up top runs around like chickens with their heads cut off. That's it. Here you go. New York Times. This is something a little bit better. Let's spend a little bit of time on George Carlin here. If this ever loads. Ready when you are. Hold on a second. Oh, God. So I don't know. I don't know how long this has been off. Oh, God. I guess I'm off the air. I mean, I've been off the air now. I'm off the air. And it won't get me back on. Will not get me. It doesn't matter at this point. Nah, it's nothing he can fix. Nothing. It's really nothing he can fix. It just won't go back on. Gonna have to stop recording. It's nothing you can fix, dude. It's just there's no internet connection, and I hope everything I just did. 9:13. Today's the 13th. Okay, so at least that's the first half of the show. Stop recording. Okay.